follow. Years ago, the writer Ernest Hemingway ran across a six-word newspaper ad that he said formed the perfect sad short story. The words were, "New baby shoes, never been used." There is a similar short story in the New Testament, on a character mentioned only three times, and then only briefly. But this character mentioned is the name of Demas. Demas, whom Paul mentions in the letter to Philemon that Angela read, that said, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, greets you, along with Aristarchus, Mark, Demas, and Luke." Notice, he says then, they are my fellow workers. And Demas is listed ahead of Luke. In Colossians, the fourth chapter, Paul references Demas again, only this time says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas also greet you." Luke is ahead of Demas this time and is mentioned as the beloved physician. But you can't read too much into that. But then comes 2 Timothy, containing, we suppose, the last message, among the last messages that Paul communicated to his friends. And he said, "Come soon. Demas has deserted me, having loved the present world." If you take those three references, they form a graph of a spiritual pilgrimage. Demas, my fellow worker. Demas. Demas has deserted me, having loved the present world. In that you see the story of someone who started well, but who did not finish well. Demas is a minor character, and yet I want to suggest to you this morning that he is a pervasive spiritual type. In fact, he's the kind of person that Jesus referenced in his story of the soils. Jesus talked about those people whose souls are so hard and inured to the gospel that the seed of the gospel bounces off it like seed off a rock. That was not Demas. Demas was soil that was receptive. Demas was a soul in which the seed took root. Demas became a man of some importance, a man who nourished and nurtured Paul, who gained his confidence and his trust, a significant figure in the early church. But Jesus must have met a lot of characters like Demas, people who were all fiery with enthusiasm initially, but over time, their commitment waned. Their spiritual roots did not deepen. The seed took root, but the soil was shallow. He did not invest in it in such a way as to cultivate his spirituality. And so it dried up. Demas, my fellow worker. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. What I'm trying to say to you, my friends, this morning, is that starting well is very important. But it is not nearly as important as finishing well. When we think of the word Titanic, nobody thinks of a glittering, magnificent ocean vessel. We think of a barnacle-encrusted crypt lying in the abyssal deep. Demas started well, but he did not finish well. We place a lot of importance in starting well. Companies market all kinds of toys to parents and grandparents so we can have our little ones learn their ABCs and their math tables at the earliest possible age. And starting well is important, but it is not nearly as important as finishing well. A few of you, at least, I imagine, follow a little college football from time to time. Do you recognize the name Todd Marinovich? Todd Marinovich was known as the test tube quarterback. He was raised from the crib to be an all-pro. His father was a professional athlete. His parents designed him to be an all-pro athlete. From the time he was born to the time he went to college, he was never allowed to eat an Oreo. He never tasted a Big Mac. He never enjoyed the gustatory delight of a Little Debbie. When he went to birthday parties, I kid you not, he carried his own cake. So he would eat a cake that was of no sugar and unrefined flour. He was raised to be a great athlete. He was recruited in junior high school by major colleges and was the first freshman quarterback to start at Southern Cal since World War II. If any athlete was designed to start well, it's Todd Marinovich. But the kid who never ate an Oreo was arrested for cocaine possession by the time he was a senior in college. The kid who never had a Big Mac spent the next 10 to 15 years addicted to hard drugs. The kid who was considered an all-pro was listed by ESPN as one of the 10 greatest flops in sports history. Starting well does not mean finishing well. UCLA, a few years ago, published a survey in which they interviewed college students as they entered UCLA. And they found, to their amazement, 44% of the entering student body said that they attended religious services frequently. Now, they may have fudged a little, but still, 44%. They interviewed those same kids 2 years later when they were juniors. Participation had dropped to less than 25%. What had happened? Along the way, their commitment to the community of faith had waned. Their holy habits had dissipated. Their good intentions fell by the wayside. My point to you is, Demas is not some dusty and obscure spiritual figure. He is a spiritual type among many of us. In fact, someone some of you may can resonate with. When I look at Demas, I think about some of the ridiculous discussions that Christians get into. I think about where I was taught at the seminary, we talked about the importance of the phrase, once saved, always saved. And the whole question of can you commit, quote, apostasy. What a silly argument. I mean, the truth of the matter is, walking down an aisle and committing your life to Christ does not guarantee you eternal life. The seed takes root, but it has to be cultivated. Don't tell Paul that someone couldn't find the seed and commit to Christ and not fall away. He saw it happen. Demas. Demas, my fellow worker. Demas has deserted me. having fallen in love with the present world. Why did Demas fall? I think, personally, it could be because he realized the cost of discipleship. Think about the letters that Paul wrote that mentioned Demas. Every single one of them was written while Paul was in prison. Every single one of them. Demas realized if he was going to commit to this way, he was going to end up like Paul. He may have gotten into faith thinking, this is going to bring me status. This is going to bring me power. This is going to elevate my life. There are a lot of preachers today who will tell you, if you'll just come to Christ, God will bless you with material abundance. Just come to Christ and everything will be rosy. That is not the gospel that Paul lived and not the gospel that Paul preached. Paul would have said to Demas straightforwardly, if you continue with me, if you continue in the way, if you continue as a disciple of Christ, you will end up like me in chains. Demas forsook him, forsook Christ, having loved the present age. Legend has it that Demas ended up as a priest in a pagan temple in Rome. He probably died comfortably in his bed, surrounded by creature comforts. Paul died violently, executed by Nero. Luke, Demas's fellow companion, stayed the course and is known as the first church historian and the writer of the third gospel. Paul, Luke, Demas, they all experienced the same adversities. They all faced the same challenges. They all were under the same hardships. One took off. The other two names we revere to this day. They finished well. Excuse me. Now why? Why on my first address to you would I talk about finishing well? It's very important. Because that is the bottom line. I come to you at a time in your history where you have a choice to make. You can embark on some new initiatives. You can bring some new innovations. Or you can try to prop up the status quo. Your committee has brought me here, I believe, as a catalyst for change. But I am very aware that churches in moments like this, when a new pastor comes, are full of enthusiasm, full of excitement. They're ready to break new ground, foster new initiatives, move in new territory. And yet, my friends, congregations are like brownies. You pull them out of the oven, and they're soft, and they're sweet, and they're malleable, but you give them time, and they harden and grow brittle. I am not here to ask you, are you ready to start new initiatives? I'm here to ask you, are you ready to make the commitment to finish well? Are you ready to make the commitment not only to start new dreams, but to see them through to fruition? Not just to break new ground, but to spend the energy and effort necessary to continue to cultivate it. Starting well is important, but finishing well is where it matters. Do you know what Paul writes just prior to talking about Demas forsaking him? He writes this: I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Do you sense the triumph in Paul's voice there? I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. It's the voice of one who has seen it through to the end and sees the glory of finishing well unto God. If we are to finish well, it will be because the ambitions to serve God swell up from within us as something deep, not just a very faint, ephemeral wish, but as an ambition that swells up from the depth of our being. If our desire to make a glorious future at Vineville Baptist is to be more than a wish, it must swell up from within us, and we must open our being up to God's Spirit wherever it might lead us. You know what I think? I think because Luke knew Demas, he was the only one to include these words of Scripture, of all the Gospels. He's the only one to include Jesus saying, "Which of you desiring to build a tower does not first count the cost? Lest you build a foundation and then find you don't have the resources to finish it. And everyone mocks your effort." There may be foundations that we have laid as individuals and as families of God. But the real question is, do we have the resources and the commitment and the openness to God to build the tower upon the foundation that stands as a testament to the power of the living God? I believe we do. I hope we do. But remember this graph: Demas, my fellow worker. Demas has forsaken me. May that not be said of us. Let us pray together. Lord, may your Spirit pierce our hearts and minds and move us in our inward being to commit to you the whole of our lives, that truly we might bring your dreams to fruition in this place and around the world, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Again, we are here to worship, and in worshiping, as the Spirit feeds us, we are called to respond. If you're called to respond, to give your life to the Christ who calls you to commit, not just for the moment, but for a lifetime, we invite you to come. If you'll come into this fellowship, to come make church with this family, to splice your life into the life of this family by transfer of letter, by statement, come. come and make church in this place as we stand together.